Welcome. Thank you for being here. Good to see everyone. Kind of the most miserable day, right? 31 degrees and raining. But Garrett was reminding me that there's not a lot of frost in the ground, and the water soaks right in. And so it's going to really come in handy. It'd be a real blessing. So. There are a lot of things you could be doing this evening. You could be watching the Big Ten Channel and probably watching basketball or watching the Redbirds play tonight, right? They're playing at Washington right now, I think right now. So. But I thank you for being here, and I pray that if we can, with humility, listen to the scripture, wonderful music that's been prepared, and be open to the Holy Spirit, that this can be a time of transformation and growth, and really help us as we prepare for Lent, as we begin Lent. Our Lenten theme is seeking honest questions for deeper faith. So again, God is trustworthy, and I believe that this evening, if we approach God with open hearts, that our trust will be deepened. And our focus statement for tonight: God forms us from the good earth, and we are on a return journey to God. So we're going to be thinking about earth tonight. Well, welcome to our Ash Wednesday service. Welcome those from Roanoke. Thank you for being here. I believe that God will deepen our trust as we begin Lent together. Ash Wednesday begins the approximately 40-day journey of Lent between now and Holy Week. Sundays are not counted. They are resurrection days. Lent commemorates Jesus' 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. The number 40 symbolizes transformation in the Bible. The Israelites spent 40 years in the wilderness. They were changed. Moses was on Mount Horeb, Mount Sinai, for 40 days and 40 nights, received the law, Ten Commandments. Elijah, after resting, remember he was running, got up, he was given nourishment by an angel, and he had the strength to go and travel 40 days and 40 nights to the same mountain where he heard God speak in the quietness. That's 1 Kings 19. And Jesus, 40 days in the wilderness. Lent is a doorway we go through to a deeper relationship with Jesus. Time being in Jesus' presence by means of the Holy Spirit. Time to collect our thoughts. Ashes represent the reality of human sin and the inevitability of human death. But we are part of God's good creation. Our souls are made in God's image. God is love. The earth, the soil, and our bodies receive God's love. So, sisters and brothers, though mortal and imperfect, on Ash Wednesday we delight in the Lord God, creative spirit, love, wisdom, and word. Our call to praise is on page one in your bulletin. In the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began, God was. Here and now, among us, beside us, clearer than air, closer than breathing, God is. In all that is to come, when we have turned to dust and human knowledge has been completed, God will be. Not despairing of earth, but delighting in it, not condemning the world, but redeeming it through Jesus Christ. By the power of the Holy Spirit, God was, God is, God will be. O Lord, our God, thank you for your wondrous deeds and your thoughts toward us. Holy Spirit, please be present. Give us humility, open hearts, open ears to listen. We pray that this service will honor you, Jesus, and be a genuine help to us as we begin Lent. guide us as we worship in Jesus' name. Amen. Come Thou Fount. It's in purple, 563.
We invite you to stay seated and relax into this familiar tune. It's on page 14 in the bulletin.
Fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet, sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mountain fixed upon it, mount of God's unchanging love. Here I raise my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I'm come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to
from Psalm 90, verses 1 through 8 and 12 through 17. So teach us to count our days. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turn us back to dust and say, go back, you children of earth. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday. They pass like a watch of the night. You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that has been renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are overwhelmed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. So teach us to count our days that we may gain a wise heart. Turn again, O Lord. How long will you tarry? Have compassion on your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen suffered adversity. Let your work be revealed to your servants and your glorious power to their children. May the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and prosper for us the work of our hands. Oh, prosper the work of our hands. This beautiful song is about real life and living. The songwriter acknowledges his or her sins and has experienced and rightly fears the Lord's powerful displeasure. The author reminds us that our lives are brief and we will turn back to dust. Yet our Lord turns and returns to us with compassion. We petition with the psalmist for God's steadfast love, which satisfies us in the morning and for wisdom and gladness as we plan our days.
Reading from Genesis 2, 4b to 9. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream would rise up from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. Out of the ground the Lord God made to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And from Galatians 6, do not be mistaken. God is not treated with contempt. For whatever a person sows, this she or he shall also shall reap. Because the one who is sowing in her physical body from his physical body shall reap destruction. But the one who is sowing in the Spirit from the Spirit shall reap life without end. So let us not be discouraged while doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we are not giving out. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all persons, but especially to the members of the household of faith. Be still, my soul.
And I hate to change it up, but "Be still, my soul" will be later. Could you please take your purple hymnals and from in front of you and turn to 502. We're going to sing a funeral song together. You might know it as "Abide With Me." But as we watch Jesus walk to his death, we oddly find comfort because we know we cannot have new life without this death. So please join us. Stay seated. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth verses of "Abide With Me" on 502.
Oh.
Thank you. Humus, humility, humans, and hope. Meditation from Genesis 2, 4 to 9. We just finished the Colossian Way, the sexuality series, approaching difficult, they call these wicked subjects. It's not evil, it means wicked, like a wicked curveball that they don't have easy, without easy answers. But the approach included stories, our stories and other stories, lament, praise, and hope. Turning Godward at the end. Forbearance, love, and humility were also central. At a recent pastors and leaders conference, Joni Sankin, the preaching professor, suggested an approach to collective stress, and we have had a lot of collective stress the last several years. Collective stress and trauma, her approach included lament. So there's overlap here, lament, stories, yes, and blessing. So the overlap is lament, that's good. Hearing stories or talking, very important. I think praise, blessing, and hope go together. I have hope today on Ash Wednesday, and that's where I'm led this evening in this meditation. Holy Spirit, please illumine this wonderful Genesis text, bring hope and transformation. Amen. Genesis 2 is the second story of creation, one in Genesis 1 also. The name for God in Genesis 2 is Lord, L-O-R-D, capital letters, Yahweh, the name. And the Lord here gets in the earth. It's like a human being gets in the earth, gets his God's hands dirty. Adam, or humanity, is created from Adama, the dust. So these words are similar. Adam, Adama. Like our words, human, humus, and humble, or humility. They all have a similar root. We are earthlings from the earth. Humans from humus. It's really interesting, there's a little water here too. So we can keep that in mind. There's a stream that's watering this area, watering the face of the ground, like a stream bed or, a freshwater stream. So this is really interesting. Ellen Davis, in her essay, Land as Kin, this is in a book called Rooted and Grounded, Essays on Land and Christian Discipleship, calls attention to Leviticus 26:42. God here, the Lord here, is being forgiving. If people's hearts are humbled, God will forgive. God says, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob. I will remember also my covenant with Isaac and also my covenant with Abraham. And I will remember the land. So this is reverse order, isn't it? We usually say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here we're saying Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, and the land. It's reverse order, and the land is a covenant partner. Davis says, in fact, the land, fertile soil, is our first ancestor. Now let's think about ancestors a bit. If you haven't been cloned, you have parents. I don't think anyone here probably has been cloned. And grandparents and great-grandparents. You inherit their traits. Let's go farther back on your family tree using paleontology, the studies fossils, studying past ages from fossil remains. Bones become fossilized and they survive. We could also use DNA to do that, but in preparation for this, I started reading a book by Neil Shubin. I don't know, Your Inner Fish. Have you read that book? If you haven't, well, anyone interested in medicine or biology should read that. I got one for two of my grandsons, and one of them hadn't started it, so I borrowed it back, and I'm reading it. Neil Shubin, Your Inner Fish. We are multicellular organisms. The oldest many-celled fossil is greater than 600 million years old. Think about this. Who do you have in common? Someone who has two eyes, a body plan, in other words, a right and a left side, a skull, and a spinal cord. Can you think about anyone you have in common? A fish, okay? Yeah, it would be a fish. Well, let's add front and back limbs, hands and feet, you know, to the two eyes, front and back, and vertebrae. Okay, then we would have what? A tetrapod, right? Like a turtle. So let's add hair, three bones, main thing, three bones in the middle ear. Then what do we have? We have a polar bear, we have mammals. Now we're up to 200 million years ago. So let's add then walking upright. So now we have people. The oldest fossil with bipedal gait is around 4 million years old. But if we go farther back to the Earth is 4.6 billion years old. That's a lot of millions. The oldest fossils are classed as bacteria are greater than 3 billion years old. The universe, you know, is 13.6 billion years old. So then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. So from the beginning of this verse to the end, it's greater than 3 billion years. Okay, so there's a lot of time in this verse. But time doesn't mean that much. God doesn't really operate on time. It's pretty amazing. The Bible is not an evolutionary biology textbook. The purposes are much greater. It's much goes beyond that. God breathed breath into soil, and Adam opened his eyes. You know, but this is certainly no conflict, and this is interesting. I think Neil Shubin was part of a team that discovered the fossil Tiktaalus about 100,000 miles from the North Pole in Canada, in exposed sedimentary rock from the Devonian period, which was 375 million years ago. So they have to find the right rock. There is some in the lower, in the 48, in our country, but it's covered with parking lots, or roads have gone through it. But anyway, they found where this was exposed. At that time, this was a freshwater stream bed in a warm climate. Back then, it was like the Amazon River. The bones were preserved as fossils. Tiktaalus is the link between fish and land. It had a flat head, eyes on top, and a neck of sorts. Fish, when they turn their head, their whole body turns. This had kind of a neck and had fins, but the fins had bones. It's like a rudimentary humerus and an elbow. You probably remember when this came out in the paper. This was like this. This Tiktaalus could get out of the water and actually push up 375 million years ago. So, in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no plant of the field was yet in the earth and no herb of the field had yet sprung up, the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was no one to till the ground, but a stream, there was water, would rise from the earth and water the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Well, you may say, the earth is not my ancestor. I don't share characteristics with water and soil. Well, you may want to think about that again. You've heard of carbon and oxygen and nitrogen, hydrogen and iron and calcium. We don't really know how it started. It's pretty wonderful. We are part of something much bigger than we can imagine. I think reality is spiritual. We only glimpse how much God loves us and how much honor God has given to God's creation. God breathed life, the breath of life, the life force. Creation is ongoing, continuing, and we are co-creators with God. God took ground and breathed into it, and Adam opened his eyes. God is intimately involved in God's world. Fertile soil in Genesis is a feminine noun, God's womb. We are born and we return. Land is not an it. Fertile soil is our first ancestor, and we will go home. The core affirmation, the good news of the gospel on this Ash Wednesday is that we are on a journey to God. This is called theosis in Orthodox. A journey which includes our first ancestor, the earth, and proceeds to a resurrection body. And remember that Jesus took on humus. And so with joy we can wash our faces, loose the bonds of injustice, share our bread with the hungry, and store up treasure in our heavenly accounts. My assignments to you tonight, if you haven't this evening, you'll have another chance. Bring items for our MCC health kits. Mennonite women are working on those. Sign up to help with pie baking for the relief sale, or do something for the relief sale. That's my second assignment. Thirdly, schedule a time when you can have lunch with someone in Roanoke or Metamore, someone in the congregations to share stories. And finally, with humility, take care of our first ancestor, the earth. I'm going to read in closing a poem by Wendell Berry, a Kentucky farmer. Enriching the earth. To enrich the earth, I have sowed clover and grass. These are cover crops. Clover and grass to grow and die. I have plowed in the seeds of winter grains and of various legumes, their growth to be plowed in to enrich the earth. I have stirred into the ground the offal and the decay of the growth of past seasons, and so mended the earth and made its yield increase. All this serves the dark. I am slowly falling into the fund of things. And yet to serve the earth, not knowing what I serve, gives a wideness and a delight to the air, and my days do not wholly pass. It is the mind's service, for when the will fails, so do the hands, and one lives at the expense of life. After death, willing or not, the body serves, entering the earth. And so what was heaviest and most mute is at last raised up into song. Holy Spirit, please give us humility and hope and transformation. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness to us. Amen. We have just a moment of silence, and then be still, my soul.
And before we come up front with our bodies to be adorned with ashes, we take a minute to still the insides, to still our spirit, to still our soul. It's on page 15 and 16. I read a children's book to my youngest, and the part of the story where Jesus tells the wind and the waves to be still, she now associates be still with Jesus, which I think is such a beautiful picture. So please join us for Be Still My Soul.
page 5 of the bulletin. Create for me a clean heart, O God. Together in unison. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my wickedness and cleanse me from my sin. For well I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Create for me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me out of your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your saving help, and sustain in me a generous spirit. Then I will teach your ways to the wicked, and sinners will return to you. Open my lips, O Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. Prayer of confession. Amen, O Simons, Lord Jesus, blind I am, do thou enlighten me. Naked I am, do thou clothe me. Wounded, do thou heal me. Dead, do thou quicken me. I know of no light, no physician, no life except thee. Amen. Come to a time of blessing and prayer. Many things we have. We mentioned Sunday about earthquake victims. Continuing war in Ukraine, the threat of nuclear war. We pray that our leaders will be able to step back from the brink. Those who are dealing with health issues, we bring them to mind. In your mercy, Lord, hear our prayer. Ashes are a physical symbol, which when activated by the Holy Spirit, become a spiritual resource for God's social action and for love. Holy Spirit, please bless these ashes by which we accept and show that we are part of your good creation, your earth. We accept your gracious and reconciling help on our journey with Jesus now during Lent 2023. Thank you for bringing life even through death. Thank you for your redemptive righteousness manifested in Jesus' faithfulness. Thank you for widening our hearts by your powerful love. Help us to be present for each other, for our families. Forgive our sins and keep us faithful. Please remember us, Lord Jesus, as your kingdom grows in your world. Now we pray with Jesus for the growth of his kingdom of heaven. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Lord God said to Adam, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread until you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, you are dust, and to dust you shall return. I guess this evening I see this as God's kindness to us, not a curse. We return to the earth, our first ancestor. God formed mankind from the dust of the ground, and God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and humankind opened his or her eyes. Our days are numbered. We are part of God's good earth, and we will return to earth. Our good bodies are part of God's creation, and they are part of a spiritual reality much bigger than we can ever imagine. As God's couriers in God's ministry of reconciliation, we bring our bodies to receive ashes, clean hearts, and God's promises. The words for anointing of ashes are, the Lord will bring us home. This is a message of hope that we are coming. Eventually we will return home. So I'll ask you to come in the center. Jolene will be in the center. Eric will be. I'll be here. And you come forward now.
Now that we all look the same, let's turn to page 17 and sing together what we have just practiced together. You have the refrain on page 17, and Sheila and I will sing a verse in between. So just follow us.
Lead us and guide us.
Let us pray together on page 8. All merciful God, you call us forth from the dust of the earth and name each of us as your beloved children. Now look upon us as we enter these 40 days bearing the mark of ashes, sign of our mortality, reminder of our end. Bless our journey through the desert of Lent, the water of rebirth. May our fasting be a hunger for justice, our acts of charity, making of peace, our prayer, a chant of humble and grateful hearts. When we come to Easter and beyond the empty cross, renew us, assure us again that neither life nor death can separate us from you. All that we do and pray is in the name of Jesus, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
What gift of grace is Jesus, my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing, all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
from the prophet Isaiah. Is not this the fast I choose? To loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. Your vindicator shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry for help, and he will say, "Here I am." If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. And then a gospel passage from Matthew 6. But when you fast, do not become like the gloomy play actors, for they render their faces unrecognizable in order that while fasting they might be visible to people. Truly I say to you, they are receiving in full their recognition. But you, while fasting, anoint your head and wash your face in order that while fasting you not show yourself to people, but to your Father in private. And your Father, the one seeing in private, shall reward you. Do not store up with you treasure on the earth where moth and consuming ruins and where thieves break through and steal. But store up with you treasure in heaven where neither moth nor consuming are ruining and where thieves are not breaking through nor stealing. For where your treasure is, there shall be also your heart.
Again, thank you for your presence this evening. Thank you, Sarah and Dale, Sheila, for your music, Garrett, for Jolene for being here, Eric, Deb. I wish that God will bless you for this evening, the rest of your evening. We have a birthday in our family. Our granddaughter, Ruby, has a birthday today, so I think we'll stop and wish her a happy birthday. At the end, there is something I was hoping that we could do. It's the end of your bulletin here. Somewhere with soil. And I don't know if it's raining or not. It's not real nice outside. But, you know, try to do this tomorrow. Sometime when the sun's shining. Just take this bulletin and go outside. You can actually kneel down and touch the ground. This is a very powerful thing. I got this from Laura Nafsinger. She's on the pastoral team at Assembly Mennonite in Goshen. She led a workshop on intergenerational worship. And put your hands in the soil, on the soil, touch it, look at it closely. Like things that grow in this good soil, the love of God grows in each of us. So take that home and do it tomorrow. The weather's supposed to get nicer. Benediction here. Not sure which page it's on, but together it's from Isaiah 58. Jolene has just read this. Together the Lord will guide us continually and satisfy our needs in parched places, and we shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Lord, you have been our dwelling place, a refuge in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. The path that lies before us is not an easy one. To reach the place of new life, we must first wander through shadows of death. With ash-stained skin, yet with joy and thankfulness, we go out on our Lenten pilgrimages. Our journey to God is not solitary. We go together with each other in the company of the man of sorrows, following in his path, for it is our way home. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Please go with us on our journey. Bless our fellowship. Remainder of this week, prepare us for worship on Sunday. Thank you for our opportunity to share in bringing good news to the poor and to working for the relief sale and all the other opportunities we have. So bless our efforts. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Peace and all good. You're dismissed.